Hi, folks. I'm Jillian Fenner, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio feature program with my co-host,
Tom Majeure.
And our feature program, we air four times a week,
correct?
Okay. And these are interesting topics that affect our listeners.
Absolutely. In fact, we make them issue-oriented to fulfill our mission with the federal communications.
That's right. And some of them, maybe they're just local for an area. But what we're talking about today is something that's going to affect the whole state. And in the studio with us, we have a very special guest, and it is Genevieve Marnon. She is the Legislative Director of Right to Life in Michigan. Welcome.
Well, thank you for both of you for having me. Appreciate it. Tom, Jillian, nice to see you.
And so I guess my first question, what does that mean, Legislative Director?
So I am the person, I have a coworker. The two of us are in Lansing, and we interface with our elected officials, our senators and representatives, and we try and encourage pro-life laws, laws that protect the unborn child and elderly and, you know, whatnot. And we also run defense on the anti-life bills that may be repealed or put in place that would harm life.
Okay. Well, Tom, before we get started, why don't you have a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Our great Heavenly Father, you created life.
Amen.
And dear Lord, you were the designer, the creator, and the sustainer of life. Lord, be with us as we talk about this most sensitive subject. Lord, help us to be your representatives, to be kind, to be fair, to be truthful, and to meet the needs of our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So one reason we have you here and interviewing you, because there's something very special going to be happening here in our state. You want to fill us in on this?
Sure. So on November 8th, we will be hosting the first annual March for Life in Michigan. We are partnering with the National March for Life to bring a big statewide march to Lansing on the commemoration of the Proposal 3 passage. So that's why it's on November 8th. So you can find all kinds of details on our website, rtl.org, Right to Life, rtl.org. So that's one of the good things, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later.
So then my question is, that was Proposal 3, it was last year voted. Mm-hmm. And what was that?
So Proposal 3 was a ballot initiative on the ballot that passed by 57-43 vote, and it did create a constitutional right to abortion in the state of Michigan.
Because prior to that, the state of Michigan had no right on their books for abortions.
Not only did we not have a right to abortion in Michigan, we had a Court of Appeals opinion that said there is no right to abortion found in the Michigan Constitution. But in addition to that, Michigan has protected the unborn child legislatively through law since 1846. Mm. And that law had been continuously in effect and even partially enforceable under Roe versus Wade. So, unfortunately, that law was repealed earlier this year.
You know, this issue is a very sensitive issue to many people. Probably no other issue or very few issues have such strong, deep emotions that each side feel are not compromisable. I listened to you give a presentation earlier this year. And you have such a balanced approach to this issue. How do you maintain that balance? And because you go in front of friends and those who don't agree with you, how do you handle that?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, we are on a Christian radio station.
That's
so
right.
I can say, you know, I think most pro-lifers have their foundation in their faith. And so I look at it this way, even if I don't agree with somebody on the topic of abortion, and as you say, they have very strong opinions in many cases, everybody can be converted.
Yes.
God wants all of us. And so some of the most pro-life supporters, some of the most vocal pro-life people were former Planned Parenthood employees, right?
Right.
So
yes.
Abby Johnson, for example, comes to mind. And there's a whole organization that works to get people out of the abortion industry and into pro-life ministry. So I look at it this way. Every single person that I interface with is either already pro-life or can be pro-life. right?
What a positive outlook.
That's right, yes.
And there's a one thing that sometimes is misunderstood unless you really meet the people or for life is how kind and gentle and compassionate the pro-life group is as a whole.
We are. In fact, you know, we sometimes get demonized by the other side or in the press as, you know, not caring about women, for example, that one we hear a lot, or the only care about the baby and you don't care about the woman. And that's just so not true. And that's evidenced by the fact that we have 150 pregnancy resource centers scattered around the state, and they give out millions of dollars worth of free goods and services, diapers, formula, parenting classes, car seats. And more importantly, they're there to walk alongside someone in a crisis pregnancy. So that emotional support is huge. And there's no judgment. You can walk in off the street, no cost, free ultrasound, free pregnancy test in many cases. So,
And assistance after the birth. It's not just about the birth.
Absolutely. A lot of them carry baby clothes up to size 3 or 4, diapers up to size 6. So we definitely want to walk with that woman and her family. And the men, too, by the way. We have men fathering classes, parenting classes for the guys, too. So we absolutely, pro-lifers around the state have stepped up over the past 50 years and really have put their money where their mouth is.
Well, the thing that about the pro-life, because, you know, pro-choice is you're going to probably get an abortion. Well, I'm very pro-life, very. Because what about the baby? Mm-hmm. You know, and now, so there's been that debate. Well, is it, you know, a human, a fetus and everything? But so a woman that is in crisis, because whether, you know, married, unmarried, but pregnant and not wanting to be. Mm-hmm. She needs advice. And with the abortion industry, the only advice is abort the baby. That's one thing about the pro-life movement. It's not just, you know, that's your only alternative. You can carry the baby. We can help you. What about adoption? Why isn't adoption talked about? Because there's so many couples that can't have children that would love to have a baby.
And I mean, that's a good point that you bring up. But one thing we've learned over the years is that that woman who's looking at that positive pregnancy test and her heart is racing and she's freaking out, she's not thinking about adoption. Unfortunately, right at that moment, it is a choice for life or a choice for abortion. And so we need to meet her where she is and help her discern that and really walk with her so that she makes a choice for life. Because despite Prop 3 passing last year, abortion's been legal in the state of Michigan for the last 50 years because of the Roe versus Wade decision, which is the federal Supreme Court decision granting a right to abortion in the Constitution. That was overturned last year, but now we have this Michigan. So it's, the situation's the same. We need to help make a choice for life. What she what happens after that child is born with regard to adoption is kind of a different situation, unfortunately, but that's just the reality of it.
You know, there's one thing that in our pre-production meeting for this interview, we talked about the approaches changed with the constitutional amendment, that you have a new approach to this issue. It's legal. Now you're going for the heart of the woman to make that choice.
We need to change the hearts and the minds of the culture. That's right.
Of the culture. It's not just the woman.
And it's not, and I say this as the legislative director, but it's not just making it illegal. It is about making it unthinkable. It needs to become the unchoice. But unfortunately, we've had a culture now that has bought into the abortion issue as somehow culturally acceptable for the last 50 years. And so we have to change that narrative. And I want to give you a great example, because people are like, we can never do this. It's so entrenched. I'm like, when I was a kid, smoking was pretty common. I mean, like everywhere you could smoke in your classroom. You could smoke on an airplane. People forget. That was just 35 years ago.
In the restaurant.
So look at that cultural shift that we've managed in America on the idea of smoking. We need to have that same sort of cultural shift on the idea of abortion, because it's not just the baby, it's the mom and the dad who suffer the ill effects of an abortion. An abortion is pitting a woman against her own flesh and blood. It is. And how painful is that? That you are now told by society that this is what you have to do to get ahead, to get through school, to get a job, to get an advancement, whatever the case may be. I mean, this narrative, and we need to change that.
The cognitive dissonance underrates this conflict, this internal, the worst battle is against oneself.
Correct. So, but I want to share some good news.
Good.
Yes. So in Michigan, right now, yes, we are facing that constitutional amendment, the Prop 3 constitutional amendment. But since Roe versus Wade was overturned, several states around the country have moved to put restrictions on abortion. And we estimate conservatively that over 100,000 unborn babies have been saved because of those decisions and because of the overruling of Roe versus Wade. So we have a lot to celebrate with the Dobbs decision. We really do.
And to explain what Dobbs is.
So Dobbs was the Supreme Court decision that
brought it up to the surface.
All the way up to the Supreme Court. And they decided that 1973 ruling in Roe versus Wade that granted a constitutional right to abortion was wrong. It was egregiously wrong, to quote Justice Alito. It was egregiously wrong. And so finally, after 50 years, they scrapped Roe versus Wade and said, no, there is no right to abortion in the U.S. Constitution. You states go figure it out for yourselves.
Then it was a free-for-all.
It's kind of been a free-for-all. Some are abortion states. Some are abortion-free states. And I'm hopeful. I know it's hard right now in Michigan. It looks dark, but we can look at those states that are abortion-free, and we can learn from them. And I think over the next few years, you're going to see a real difference. And people are going to say, I want that. I want what that looks like. That's my hope.
But the opposite side is just pushing, well, you can't get an abortion in that state. You know, it's illegal, so you won't be able to. So they're, you know, talking to women's emotions that are in this crisis. And then, well, then I've got to leave this state, and how am I going to afford it, and how can I go where? But I like what you said about we need to educate people. Mm-hmm. And you know, everybody has the right to believe what they want and do what they want. I mean, God doesn't make us do what's right. But that's why we're here, to help educate people that they do what's right.
And it's not just what's right, because, I mean, everybody can disagree on what's right and wrong. I mean, I think we have the commandments that kind of show us the way, but not everybody believes that. But the point is, we need to convince women and men and society that abortion is bad for you. It's bad for the woman. You know, like my husband's in sales, and he always says, you need to whiff them.
Whiff them.
Whiff them. What's in it for me. Yeah. So whiff them. So why is abortion bad for a woman? Well, we can show some of the physical outcomes of abortion. We can show some of the emotional outcomes of abortion. I can tell you that talking to audiences around the state, there has not been a single time where somebody talked about their abortion experience where they didn't also say, and my child would be XYZ age. Mm-hmm. It stays with you forever. I always said, you know, pregnancy is temporary, but abortion is forever. So that idea that we need to reach people, and we need to touch them with that knowledge that it maybe feels really tough right now, but you can do it and we can help. I feel like a Home Depot commercial.
You know, we're talking positive, and that's true. But there's one discussion that in our pre-show discussion is, who makes the decision on abortion?
Well, right now in the state of Michigan, that lays completely on the shoulders of the pregnant woman.
But who are the influencers?
You know, it's really interesting. People don't realize this. The number one, the person who has the most impact on a woman's decision to have an abortion,
besides herself,
is the father of that child. That dad's reaction to a positive pregnancy test can make the difference between life or not life for his child. The second biggest influencer is that woman's mother. So, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen women want to kind of drag their daughter down to the abortion clinic. And that's heartbreaking because I'm thinking, I'm a grandma. That's the crown jewel of being a parent. Hey, it really is.
but what you just said, then, that daughter has no choice in it.
She has a choice, but it's an influence choice.
Unfortunately, that is true. So not only do we need to reach the women who may be finding themselves in an untimely pregnancy, we need to educate the broader culture. Hey, dads. Hey, men out there. Your reaction to a positive pregnancy test can make a big difference. Hey, moms, your daughters are looking to you for guidance. Remember, these are your grandchildren. And as much as it may be, hey, this is not a good situation she's in, whatever the case may be, again, there's help out there.
So what is going on right now in Lansing that this is something we need to talk about?
We do. So Prop 3, which gave a constitutional right to abortion in the Michigan Constitution, passed about a year ago, November 8th of last year. In the meantime now, that also shifted the majorities in the legislature. So now there's a Democrat majority in the House and a Democrat majority in the Senate. Now, once upon a time, there used to be a lot of pro-life Democrats and some pro-choice Republicans. Unfortunately, we've seen that kind of polarize over the years. So that being said, a package of bills that is being referred to as the Reproductive Health Act, or the RHA, the Reproductive Health
Act. This is a very important... If you want to respond to this, you need to remember that term.
Yes.
Reproductive
Health Act.
Health Act.
That's what it's being called. It's an 11-bill package that was recently introduced into the House of Representatives in Michigan. It was voted out of committee and is sitting on the House floor. And we, for your listeners, here's a call to action. If you live in Michigan, if you have a representative... call your representative and tell them you want them to vote no on the Reproductive Health Act, which are House Bills 4949 to 4959. And the reason for that is, regardless of where you stand on the abortion decision, because remember, abortion's now legal in the state of Michigan, this dangerous bill package will repeal common sense restrictions and guardrails on abortion.
Like, what do you mean, common sense restrictions?
Common sense. So clinic licensing. Does anybody think that an abortion clinic shouldn't be licensed and inspected by the state? I mean, my hairdresser is.
So this bill, nobody'd have to be licensed.
They would not need to be licensed as a surgical facility.
Just to take that, you said hairdresser, but your mechanic has to be licensed. Mm-hmm. I mean.
And inspected by the state. Yeah. They have to meet a whole lot of guidelines. But why would we want to carve out for women seeking an abortion so that their standard in their clinic is less than what you'd have if you went in for a knee scope? You know, my son just had Achilles tendon surgery done, and the surgical center was very much licensed and inspected. So,
well, because if you're going to have an abortion, it is a surgical procedure.
So it's only the surgical centers that have to be licensed. Now, the abortion pill, that's a totally different thing. But the surgical centers, where you're having instruments inserted in your body, we would think that those should be sanitized and inspected and clean. But they want to repeal the clinic licensing law. They want to repeal the informed consent law.
That's a huge, huge issue, informed consent. These young people, some of them are minors, and even if they are of age, legal voting age, the ability to make decisions matures at past the age of the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Which 20 women, 23 years old, men, 25, 27 years old. And this is a reproductive prime, mm-hmm. Prime area. And they still are trying to make good decisions.
Well, regardless of whether we think that 25-year-olds or younger can make good decisions, parents, you can make that decision. But the reality is you can't make an informed decision without information. So, and it's the hallmark of medical ethics. Informed consent is the hallmark of medical ethics. Mm-hmm. But they don't, it's almost like the abortion industry does not want women to understand fetal development. They don't want them to understand the abortion procedure. They just hurry up, get in there, don't mm-hmm. don't think about it. Just come in and make the decision. But along with the informed consent, they want to do away with screening women for coercive abortion. Remember I just talked about the moms dragging their daughters down there? Well, there's a protocol right now that you get screened for any kinds of signs of coercion. And again, I don't want to bring this up, but Michigan is a pretty high sex trafficking state. Mm-hmm. And we want women screened for abortion coercion. They're going to do away with that. We think that these bills are very dangerous for women and women's health and safety. Again, we want her to make a choice for life. But if she's going to choose an abortion, we want her to have a clean, safe clinic, informed consent, be screened for coercion, all of those kinds of common sense guardrails.
That makes a lot of sense. So this, we're not sure when this bill is going to be passed, if it'll be passed. Mm-hmm. It has to go through the process of the legislature.
Correct. And right now, and I can tell you, the reason why it hasn't been passed already is there's one brave Democrat from Detroit, her name is Karen Whitsitt, who has put her foot down and said, no, it's going to be my constituents in the city of Detroit who are going to be most impacted by the repeal of these laws. And she said, I voted for Prop 3. I support abortion, but I want women to have informed consent. I want them to have 24 hours to think about their decision. I want them to have a clean and licensed clinic. So she's kind of setting the tone. Without her vote, they can't pass it.
It's common sense.
It is common sense. Yeah. So I think that this bill package puts abortion industry profits over patient safety. So again, regardless of where you stand on the abortion decision, House Bills 4949 to 4959 are dangerous. And we're asking people, call your state representative. If you know them to be pro-life, give them a little love. Support them. Got to remember, they get beaten up a lot from the other side. Mm-hmm. And if they're pro-choice, again, remember, just because they're pro-choice doesn't mean they're your enemy. Mm-hmm. Part of it is you need to educate them, too. And having that dialogue and having that conversation helps. But for sure, as a constituent, you can voice your opinion and say, please vote no on House Bills 4949 to 4959, the Reproductive Health Act.
So where is this bill right now?
Sitting on the House floor in Michigan, the House of Representatives, the legislature. It's sitting on the floor.
So if it gets passed, what happens?
It has to go to the Senate. It will probably pass the Senate, and the governor will eagerly sign it. So we want to stop it now. And you know, and I want to encourage your listeners. Their voice is very powerful. One of the things that is not included in this bill package right now is the repeal of the parental consent for abortion law. Originally, this bill package last year, the year before when they introduced it, it included a repeal of the parental consent law. We made enough noise. We banged enough drums and we made enough noise about parental rights last year during the Prop 3 campaign that they backed off. For now, they have said they're going to come after your parental rights for abortion later. So we want to keep the pressure on that issue, too. But if we can stop that, maybe we can stop this whole bill package.
Well, and that's really important. I mean, we see that federally all over the country, parental rights, and people are speaking up.
And they should.
Yes.
You know, because they're coming for your kids.
Yes. Okay. Well, we're almost done with this. So if people want to contact you personally or find out more about Right to Life, what do they do?
So first and foremost, we have about 80 affiliates around the state. So we're sitting in Wexford County right now. There's a Wexford Misaki Right to Life affiliate, but there are affiliates all around the state. You can access that on our website, rtl.org, righttolife.org, and find your local affiliate. That's the best way to get involved. You can contact us. We have our legislative office is in Lansing, 517-487-3376. It's also on our website.
Repeat that number.
It's 517-487-3376. So we're the legislative office. But for all of our education and outreach materials, they're in our state office in Grand Rapids, and that number is 616-532-2300. Again, 616-532-2300, also on the website at rtl.org.
So yes, if somebody went to rtl.org, mm-hmm. they could find this information if they wanted to call somebody. What about if they wanted to send an email?
They could send an email to us. My email is G Marnon, first name, first initial, last name, G Marnon, M-A-R-N-O-N, at rtl.org. Okay. Pretty easy.
Well, especially with, you know, listeners listening to this, they may have a question they want to ask you personally.
Absolutely.
So folks, you can get a hold of Genevieve. It's G Marnon, and her last name is spelled M-A-R-N-O-N at righttolife.org.
RTL.org. Yep.
Oh, sorry. Yep. RTL.
So yep. That's on that. But I also, I want to talk about this March for Life because,
yes.
Again, we gave them, I want to give you guys an action item to call your representative. But I also want to encourage people to prayerfully, peacefully, joyfully show up at the state capitol and remind our fellow citizens that the pro-life movement is alive and well. We are in it to win it. We're not going away until every child's life is protected and loved, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we want to show up at the state capitol on November 8th, which is the one-year anniversary of Proposition 3 passing, starting at 11 o'clock in the morning. We have a great lineup of speakers and then about a one-mile march to the Hall of Justice and back. So that starts at noon.
So November 8th is a Wednesday.
Yes.
And where is everybody going to meet?
They're going to show up in Lansing. We've got.
But where?
So there's lots of public parking.
Oh, okay.
We are asking people to take buses. Many of our affiliates, again, go to our affiliates. They are chartering buses from your local area to bring you down to Lansing for the day. Many, many buses around. Different affiliates have buses. So that's probably the best way to come because there's limited parking downtown. But carpooling is great. Getting on a bus is great. But we want people to show up with lovely signs, positive messaging, joyful presence. And we want about, 5,000 would be
thousands
great.
Thousands of people.
Thousands
yeah.
of people
so
would be
my
great.
Question is if somebody was to make a homemade sign, what would it say on it?
You know, I want you guys to be creative, but love them both. Mm. For example, we want to show the moms that we love them too, right? We want
Amen.
The positive messaging on there.
Yes, because, I mean, it's not just about the baby.
No.
It's because, like you said, it affects moms as well as dads.
And society. My coworker is 26, and I tell people, 20% of her peers are not here.
20%?
20% of her age group was aborted.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And my grade, I was saved by law because I'm too old. But I said anybody born after 1973 is a survivor.
Yes.
And your peers are not here. Your potential spouses, coworkers, employees, 20% of them are gone. And now older ones would be having grandchildren at this point. So it's generational as well. So we got to look at the bigger picture and educate our fellow citizens. But
so folks, if you're interested, especially letting our government know that there is a voice out there for the right to life. Contact RTL.org and you can get all the information you need. And this march, it is a march because you're going to walk about a mile, and it's going to be on November 8th at 11 o'clock. You're going to have some speakers and then you're going to walk down and let our legislators know that you care about this.
Absolutely. So the pro-life legislators, they will look out and see a sea of support. And the pro-choice legislators will look out and say, oh, well, maybe we didn't just ramrod this through. Maybe there's still a voice out there for those unborn children, and maybe we need to rethink this. But either way, we fought for 50 years to get Roe overturned. We finally got that overturned. It won't take another 50 years, and that unborn child will be protected. Mm-hmm. I'm confident of it.
Well, thank you so much for being here and giving a voice to let people know there is a choice, which is pro-life.
Yes. Please, yes. Make a choice for life.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Have a good day, folks. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Thanks.